often when I'm out doing some pastoral calls, I will read from the Psalms, and people often make the comment that they love the Psalms. And I think one of the reasons for that is because Psalms are birthed in the experiences of life. And so when we come to this incident in the life of David at the Cave of Adullam, it was from that experience that he penned three Psalms. We open our service quoting from Psalm 34, but he also wrote Psalm 57 and Psalm 142. Psalm 142 tells us, "Look and see, there's no one at my right hand. No one is concerned for me. I have no refuge. No one cares for my life." David is God's anointed king. But here he is in hiding, waiting and taking shelter in the Cave of Adullam, waiting until that time when he will access the throne. And this Old Testament story, in a wonderful way, points us to God's greater anointed king, the Lord Jesus. And there's much that we can glean from these particular verses. Look first of all with me at the enemy who surrounded him. There was much by way of suffering for David. Saul as king had been rejected. David was now God's chosen and anointed king. And you and I live in a world where there's much suffering, because just like David, we too have an enemy. The Lord Jesus spoke of him as the prince of this world. The scriptures speak of him as Satan and as of the devil. And Alan Redpath puts it like this: the whole world in which we live today is held in the grip of this evil being. It was the God of this world who deceived Adam to disobey, to rebel, to revolt against the authority of the Creator God. And so all mankind is in rebellion and alienated from his Creator. Our Westminster Shorter Catechism asks the question, did all mankind fall in Adam's first transgression? And it answers it this way: a covenant being made with Adam, not only for himself, but for his posterity, all mankind descending from him by ordinary generation sinned in him and fell in him in his first transgression. Perhaps you've watched on YouTube or you've sought somewhere else that domino effect where someone spends hours and they create this wonderful monument out of dominoes. And then with the flick of the finger and the first domino, the whole model comes crushing and crashing down. That's the effect of sin and all mankind. And as Paul tells us in Romans, "Therefore, just as sin came in the world through one man, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all have sinned." But the good news of the gospel is this, and I love the phrase that one commentator made: God launched a counterattack in the person of Jesus Christ our Lord. And how does he do this? But God comes to live in this world as a man in the person of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus lives the perfect life. The Lord Jesus dies in the place of sinners like you and me on the cross to pay the price for our rebellion and disobedience. The Lord Jesus defeats death by his resurrection. See, like David, the anointed one, the Lord Jesus was rejected by men, crucified, but God has lifted him and raised him by his resurrection. He has ascended into heaven, he's seated upon the throne, and one day he will return and establish his eternal kingdom. And on that day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. As the apostles preach in Acts, "Know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone the builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone." The enemy who surrounded him, they had rejected the king, hadn't they? And Psalm 2 reminds us how foolish it is to dismiss God's anointed. "Why do the heathens, nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their chains and throw off their shackles. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at him. Do you see the picture here? There is a rejected king, Saul. And there was God's anointed king, David. Just as in David's day, as we will see just in a little while, he's gathering a people to himself. He's preparing the day when he will return in glory and in power. But the question that we must ask and answer for ourselves, to which king are we giving allegiance and loyalty? To which kingdom are you living? Is it the kingdom of this world? Or is it the kingdom of the Lord Jesus, that eternal kingdom that will never end? To whose authority are you bowing every day? Can you sing as truth from your heart, Jesus is King and I will extol him, give him the honor and glory, his name? The enemy who surrounded him. But secondly, notice the people who joined the anointed king. Verse 1 tells us when his brothers and his father's household heard about it, they went down to him there. Who joined him? His family joined him. And is that the wonder and the blessing of the gospel? That when we join ourselves to Christ, the anointed king, we too are regarded as his family. And Matthew tells us the words of Jesus, Matthew 12 and 50. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Hebrews 2 and 11. Both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. John 1 and 12 tells us, but as many as received him, the Lord Jesus, to them he gave the power to become the children of God. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God? Who joined him? His family joined him. They joined the anointed king. And when we trust Christ, then we are brought into the family of God. And it's only by trusting the anointed king that we can dare call God Abba Father. Who else came? In verse 2, all those who were in distress or in debt or discontented gathered round him, and he became their commander. About 400 men were with him.